Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Obituaries. Agnes Bug. Bartlesville. Agnes Evelyn Bug, 85, of Bartlesville, went to her heavenly home on Friday, August 5th, 2022. Agnes was born August 27, 1936, in Galveston, Texas, to George and Julia Brown. Agnes married George Bug in 1953 in Texas, and to that union, five children were born. Agnes is survived by her five children, Lori, Branton, and husband Barry, George Bug and wife Trish, Rita Steinhardt and husband Rob, Eric Bug and wife Sharon, and Joe Bug. Her three brothers, Edwin Brown and wife Doris, Hugh Brown, and Will Robinson. 10 grandchildren, Paul Mooney and wife Jenny, Jessica Bolton and husband Brody, Lindsay Gerard and husband Paul, Audrey Orende and husband David, Antijohn Neville, Victoria Steinhardt, Becca Steinhardt, Ashley Bug, Alex Bug, and Joseph Bug. 13 great-grandchildren, Dylan, Lily, Trigger, Daniel, Gus, Zaina, Reese, Ellie, Letty, Loli, Caitlin, Carson, and Ryan. In addition to her parents, Agnes was preceded in death by three siblings, George Brown, Marvin Brown, and Elaine Sanchez. Agnes's family will receive friends at the Davis Family Funeral Home and Crematory, Walker Brown Chapel, 918-333-7665. 4201 Nowata Road, Bartlesville, on Thursday, August 11th, 2022, from 6 to 8 p.m. A come-and-go visitation will also be held on Thursday from 10 to 8. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, August 12th, 2022, at the Davis Family Funeral Home and Crematory, Walker Brown Chapel, with the Reverend Janice Lustmeyer officiating. Interment will follow in the Memorial Park Cemetery. Services are under the direction of Carter Davis and Davis Family Funeral Home and Crematory, Walker Brown Chapel. Online condolences and remembrances may be shared at www.davisfamilyfuneralhome.com. Carl Lee Herzog, Driftwood. Carl Herzog of Driftwood, Texas, passed on August 10, 2022, at the age of 72 after a lengthy illness. Carl had been happily married for 53 years to Kathy Hazelwood Herzog, who survives him. He was the proud father of his two sons, Gregory James Herzog and wife Amy Lindley of Austin, and Christopher Scott Herzog and wife Leanna Harris of Water Valley. Grandpa was equally proud of and supportive of his grandsons, Matthew Harris and wife Stormy, Owen Tant Herzog, Wyatt Clifton Herzog, and Nathan James Herzog. Carl was the son of George and Billy Evelyn Herzog of Stanton, Texas, who preceded him in death. He is survived by two sisters, Carolyn Herzog Porter of Midland, and Georgianne Herzog Walton and husband Steve of Stanton. Sisters-in-law, Debbie Hazelwood Louder of San Angelo, Carolyn Hazelwood Garlington and husband Stephen of Stanton, and Amy Hazelwood Barley and husband Shelby of Salina, and numerous nieces and nephews. A memorial service will be held August 13th at 10 o'clock a.m., Martin County Convent Pavilion, 200 Carpenter Street, Stanton, Texas. Instead of flowers, the family requests contributions to Martin County Covent Foundation, P.O. Box 1435, Stanton, Texas, 78782, Hospice Austin, 4107 Spicewood, Austin, Texas, 78759, or the charity of your choice. Death Notice, Joyce Ann Magnuson, Odessa. Joyce Ann Magnuson, 73, of Odessa, died Sunday, August 7th, 2022, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, August 13th, 2022, at Pathway Baptist Church, 1601 West University Boulevard, Odessa, Texas. Burial follows at Peaceful Gardens section of Ector County Cemetery. Pastor Charles McBride is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hello, this is Michael, reading additional articles related to oil and business from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Friday, August 12th. From the front page, Analysts say drilling permits hit three-year high. July's permits in Permian see a 16% increase from same month last year. By Kyra Buckley. The number of drilling permits approved in the nation's most productive oil basin counties to rebound from the pandemic shutdown, analysts say, hitting a three-year high last month. Overall, the state of Texas approved 901 drilling permits in July, a nearly 16% increase from the 779 issued during the same month last year. It came after state regulators approved 1,146 permits in June and 963 in May. Permits in the Permian Basin of West Texas and New Mexico rose 273, or more than 20%, in the last month to hit their highest point since 2019, according to research from Evercore ISI and data from Enverus. Analysts from Evercore said in a research note, 40% of permits issued in the U.S. are in the Permian, and 13% are in Texas's Eagle Ford share. The Permian Basin has experienced explosive growth in the last decade. Norwegian research from firm Rystad Energy predicts that daily output will grow by 1 million barrels to 5.6 million barrels this year and to 6.5 million barrels per day next year, putting the basin just behind the countries of Russia and Saudi Arabia in terms of daily production. From Friday's Business and Oil page, gas prices dip just below $4 in 5 months, by David Koenig, AP business writer, Dallas. Gasoline prices have dipped under $4 for the first time in more than 5 months. Good news for consumers who are struggling with high prices for many other essentials. AAA said the national average for a gallon of regular was $3.99 on Thursday, down from the mid-June record of $5.02. However, that's still about 80 cents higher than the average a year ago. Energy is a key factor in the cost of many goods and services, and falling prices for gas, airline tickets, and clothes are giving consumers a bit of relief, although inflation is still close to a four-decade high. Glenn Smith, a for-hire driver, sized up the price, $3.85 a gallon, while waiting between rides at a gas station in Kenner, Louisiana. "I'm not tickled pink, but I'm happier it's less than what it was," Smith said. "There for a while, every 2 days, I put $50 of gas in my car. It's $12 to run from the airport to drop off in the city. $12 a trip." Oil prices began rising in mid-2020 as economies recovered from the initial shock of the pandemic. They rose again when the U.S. and allies announced sanctions against Russian oil over the country's war against Ukraine. Recently, however, oil prices have dropped on concern about slowing economic growth around the world. U.S. benchmark crude has recently dipped close to $90 a barrel from over $120 a barrel in June. It is unclear whether gasoline prices got so high that consumers cut back on their driving. Some experts believe that is true, although they acknowledge that the evidence is largely anecdotal. "I don't know that $5 was the magic amount. I think it was the amount of increase in a short period of time," said Peter Schwartz, an expert on energy pricing and an economics professor at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. People were starting to watch their driving. Schwartz expects oil prices to remain relatively stable at least for the next month or so, particularly after OPEC and partners, including Russia, agreed to only a small oil production increase in September, which won't be enough to drive prices lower. Christian von Linn, an economics professor at Brigham Young University, said the price of oil is the key factor for gasoline, but that seasonal trends could also keep prices from surging again. "We're coming to the end of the summer, and summer is peak travel season, so demand is naturally going to fall," he said. That is certainly contributing to the most recent decline in gas prices. The average gas price has dropped 58 straight days, but that streak will end soon, predicted Tom Cloza, head of energy analyst at the Oil Price Information Service. He said the industry will face challenges to meet gasoline demand for the rest of the year. Close a note that it's still early in the hurricane season, which in the past has shut down some of the nation's biggest refineries that sit in hurricane-prone areas of the Gulf Coast. The Gulf of Mexico is speckled with oil-producing platforms. Also, he said, refinery runs will come down because a lot of delayed maintenance that can't be delayed indefinitely. Prices at the pump are likely to be a major issue heading into the midterm elections in November. Republicans blame President Joe Biden for the high gasoline prices, seizing on his decisions to cancel a permit for a major pipeline and suspend new oil and gas leases on federal lands. Biden said over the weekend that a family with two cars is saving $100 a month because prices have dropped from their peak in mid-June. "That's breathing room," he tweeted, "and we're not letting up anytime soon." Biden has also sparred with oil companies, accusing them of not producing as much oil and gasoline as they could while posting huge profits. "Exxon made more money than God last year," he said in June. Exxon said it has increased oil production. The CEO of Chevron said Biden was trying to vilify the industry. Shale Profit Bonanza Frees Up Cash to Reward Investors by Gerson Freitas Jr., Bloomberg. Shale drillers saw their debt burden fall further in the second quarter, signaling extra room for them to pay dividends, buy back shares, or make acquisitions. A metric commonly used to measure companies' ability to pay down their borrowings has widely improved among oil and gas producers as they repurchase some bonds and pile up cash amid ballooning profits. Net debt recorded by a group of independent drillers, including ConocoPhillips and Pioneer Natural Resources Company, averaged less than 0.6 times their annual earnings before items such as interest and taxes in the second quarter, down from roughly 1.7 times a year earlier, Bloomberg data show. Many E&Ps have reached or are very quickly approaching their debt target, said Spencer Cutter, an analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Energy companies have come a long way toward repairing and reinforcing their balance sheets and are in a much stronger position today to handle another downturn in commodity prices than they were going into 2015 or 2020 crashes. Prior to the pandemic, shale companies were engines of production growth as investors plowed money into the sector. The onset of COVID decimated oil demand and cratered prices, forcing many companies either into bankruptcy or to shut in production. As demand recovers from the 2020 collapse, many shale drillers have responded cautiously, increasing output moderately and prioritizing shareholder returns.
Hello, this is April, reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, August 6, 2022. City Mayor Candidates in Sprint to Election Day. Stuart Doreen, staff columnist. Midland Mayor Patrick Peyton will not run for mayor. I can't say I'm terribly surprised, and I wish him the best in future endeavors. Let's remember that Peyton still has 5 months as mayor, so let's try to avoid talking about him in the past tense. Still, elections are coming up, and candidates will talk about the future, so we can all be forgiven if it appears we are moving on. Peyton's announcement comes in the midst of the sign-up period for city election, and there will be some that talk about the timing of his announcement. Two things can be true. First, Peyton deserved every opportunity to consider whether he wanted to run. If it happened today or 2 months ago, great. I also don't hold it against the man for changing his mind. Midland didn't need a mayor whose heart wasn't in it or who would have been distracted from the task at hand. At the same time, Peyton didn't give much notice for those interested in running for the position. Election day is November 1. Early voting for the election will begin October 17. That provides a person 72 days to get their name out, educate people on their platform, and inspire people to vote. They also must raise money, potentially six figures, and do the operations needed to do the three things previously mentioned. This means it will be nearly impossible for a person with little name recognition to win a plurality and become the next mayor. This race is important to Midland, but it will get lost in the sheer amount of media, especially online. That is the governor's race between Governor Greg Abbott and Beto O'Rourke. There will not be the attention span in this or just about any other community in Texas to introduce and educate tens of thousands of potential voters to new local contestants, and that is what makes it different than even the city council races of 2021. Voters, specifically less informed voters, casting a ballot in the Abbott-O'Rourke race, are likely to go with their gut instinct in this race about known commodities down the ballot. Still, in the space of 24 hours between Thursday and Friday, what appeared to be a pretty boring city election cycle turned on a dime, with one person saying, "I'm out." There will be a new mayor and new representative of District 4. Still, more interest in what is taking place at the local level is good for communities. This is no different. The Reporter-Telegram is again planning complete coverage of local races. For those participating in Midland ISD and City of Midland races, we will offer op-ed opportunities to offer their thoughts about important issues. Biden's attacks on fossil fuel will harm Permian Basin. Congressman blasts President's approach to energy. By Representative August Pfluger, U.S. Representative. It is not often that President Biden follows through on his promises. However, there is one he is determined to deliver on, his campaign pledge to end fossil fuels, and his continuing down this path despite the high energy prices that are driving up costs on everything from gas to groceries, wreaking havoc on the budgets of all Americans. Biden is dead serious about his attack on fossil fuels. Most recently, the Biden administration, through the Environmental Protection Agency, is pursuing sleight-of-hand policies that will further aggravate the global market and jeopardize industry access to the Permian Basin, a key supply of oil and natural gas. I am fortunate to represent the Permian Basin, the largest secure supply of crude oil in the world, and a critical tool for American national security. The region delivers more than 40% of the oil and 16% of the natural gas produced in the U.S. If the federal government slows down production in the Permian Basin, Americans will be deprived of the energy our economy and our allies desperately need. Regrettably, his administration is continuing its attempts to cripple the region by announcing that the EPA may redesignate parts of the Permian as non-attainment zones in violation of 2015 ozone standards, meaning the state must work to lower pollution in the region. This non-attainment designation could significantly slow down production in the Permian, impeding one of the most productive shale plays in North America, and completely devastate local economies in the process. If redesignated, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality will develop plans to lower ozone levels across the Permian and effectively extend federal oversight to private lands with regulatory burdens on permitting, transporting, processing, and more. As oil drilling often produces ozone precursors, restrictions on exploration and production are likely to be included in non-attainment restrictions. It is no coincidence that this discretionary and unfounded proposal comes after an environmental group, Wild Earth Guardians, petitioned EPA for the redesignation in March 2021. Roughly 6 months later, the organization warned the agency it intended to sue to force action. No other stakeholder groups I know of, including local healthcare providers, provided input regarding the necessity of a non-attainment redesignation. Clearly, the Biden administration is prioritizing the satisfaction of radical green groups over affordable and reliable energy. Air quality also continues to improve nationwide. Between 1990 and 2019, ozone concentrations in the U.S. decreased by 25%, and emissions of ozone precursors, such as volatile organic compounds and nitrogen oxides, have dropped by 47% and 65%, respectively, according to a 2020 EPA report. Federally overhauling local communities will be counterproductive to the ongoing efforts to maintain satisfactory air quality in the Permian Basin. In rural America, the energy industry generates high-paying jobs for working families and is the driver of the Texas economy. The industry annually contributes over $15 billion to state and local coffers to fund public education, emergency responders, hospitals, conservation projects, and more. If the EPA finalizes this redesignation, many rural communities will face substantial and irreversible economic hardship. An even more sinister reality of this additional layer of red tape is that big producers will weather the storm, while local independents built by entrepreneurs will be the ones facing the most significant burden. The workers employed by these small businesses should not be forced to default on their monthly mortgage payments or give up savings for their children's college tuition because of President Biden's Green Dream. While the Supreme Court recently delivered a win in the effort to rein in the climate activists running the EPA, those who champion American-made energy cannot underestimate the ability of a dead snake to bite. Unelected bureaucrats at the EPA will only get more creative in their attempts to throttle reliable energy production. President Biden may think that Americans are not paying attention to these backdoor policies, but Texans, especially those in the Permian Basin, are on full alert. For us, the stakes have never been higher. Our livelihoods, communities, and national security depend on it. August Pfluger is the U.S. Representative for 11th Texas Congressional District.
Am I getting enough vitamin D? Dear Dr. Roach, I live in a very sunny climate, 250 days per year, and wear sunscreen year-round. Do I still receive enough sunshine through my skin layers for adequate vitamin D production, or does sunscreen interfere with this process? Answer. The skin needs exposure to light in order to produce vitamin D, so in theory, your concern is valid. Extremely careful application of sunscreen greatly reduces the amount of vitamin D our body can produce from light-induced conversion of active vitamin D in the skin. In real life, however, people apply sunscreen so well that they get to the point of a low vitamin D level. In lighter-skinned individuals, just 10 minutes of sunlight on the face and hands is enough to prevent vitamin D deficiency. If you were going outside, you were probably getting enough sunlight, at least in the summer, when the stronger sun is more efficient at helping the body produce vitamin D, even with sunscreen. People who wear sun-protective clothing all the time, or those who almost never go outside, are at higher risk for low vitamin D levels and should be considered for vitamin D testing. I've seen a great deal of skin cancer, and I believe it's the right decision to protect yourself from skin cancer with appropriate sun-protective clothing and sunscreen, and take vitamin D if you need to. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Couple's pandemic romance stumbles into Rocky Patch. Dear Abby, my boyfriend Kirk and I have been dating exclusively for nearly 2 years and live together. We met during the pandemic, so for the first year or so, we mostly hung out, just the two of us. Since the world has opened back up, I've been encountering some problems now that we're able to socialize with others. Kirk often becomes silent and moody when we are around my friends. He'll often leave early and abruptly without saying a proper goodbye. I find it incredibly rude. We've talked about it a number of times, but it continues. Kirk never acts this way around his own friends or family. He also sometimes becomes tense, irritable, and depressed when it's just the two of us, typically before or during an outing. Because of this, a number of promising date nights have ended badly. As his behavior continues, it makes me more and more angry. Kirk says this is just the way he is, and he can't be happy all the time. Is a relationship worth trying to save if you can't consistently have fun with each other outside the house? Signed, Mystified in California. Dear Mystified, a relationship doesn't have to be a laugh a minute to be successful. However, Kirk appears to be an introvert or possibly suffering from a social anxiety disorder, which could explain his behavior around your friends. If that's the case, consider minimizing the amount of time and number of people he's exposed to. What I find troubling is your statement that he sometimes becomes so terse and irritable, your dates are canceled at the last minute. This indicates to me that the romance may be cooling. The way to find out if it's true would be simply to ask him. Dear Abby, my mother's side of the family are greedy, self-involved, narcissistic, self-important, alcoholics. My mother escaped 5 years ago when she drank herself to death. My aunt was kind of a second mother to me because Mom wasn't around much when I was growing up. Since Mom passed, my aunt has been acting like she's all alone and our family wants her around only for whatever she can do for them. I have never asked her for anything. I just enjoy her company. She's now facing a possible cancer diagnosis and saying that since she has no children and she's done everything on her own, she'll do this alone as well. How can I get her to realize that while I'm not her child, I'm here for her for whatever she needs? I still haven't gotten over my mom dying, and I know I couldn't handle it if she were to pass too. Then I really would have no family left. Any advice you could give me would be greatly appreciated. Signed, Dysfunctional in Kansas. Dear Dysfunctional, pay your aunt a visit. Find out if that possible cancer diagnosis is definite. If it isn't, thank your highest power. If it is, tell her you love her and are grateful for the love and support she's shown you when you needed it, and that she's not as alone as she thinks she is. Make clear that you will support her during this period in any way she needs if she will let you. That is all you can do without being intrusive.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.